Hey, before we go any further in the service, if you've been here more than once, can you put your hands together for the first time visitors here at City Campus? We're so thankful for you. Come on, put your hands together if you're expecting God to move in the rest of this service. Is anyone expectant? Believing that God is moving right now. And the last 2 weeks we've ended where prayer teams have come forward and we've given the opportunity for people to get prayer. And I believe we live in a world and we live in a season right now where we need prayer more than anything. That prayer is our first response, not our last resort. So I want to try to preach this message in 25 minutes, and then we're going to take a moment to go back into just one more song of worship and believing that God can move. So if God's stirring something up right now, maybe you're like, I'm making the decision right now. I'm coming up to get prayer. And again, if you don't feel comfortable, please don't feel pressure to come up and get prayer. But God has moved. 150 people in the last 2 weeks have gotten prayer at City Campus, and God's doing something amazing. And we're in a series right now called What Pleases God. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Colossians chapter 1. This is a book written by the Apostle Paul, who was in prison. It's a young church who has pressures from the world. In the first few verses of chapter 1, Paul begins to talk about how thankful he is for this church, the church of Colossae. Because it's a young church, it's being pressured by the world, but they're doing so well. They've grown so much. They've grown so much in their love. They've grown so much in their faith. And Paul's writing this letter saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then he writes verse 9 through 11. He begins to kind of challenge them and say, but God has more for you. God has more for you. You can continue to grow and mature and do the things that please God. And I think in every season, we need to just take a moment to look back and realize, wow, that's how it started and now how this is how it's going. God's brought me through so much. And I have my friend Bjorn, who's going to help illustrate this point. Take a look on the screen. This is how things started for Bjorn. Come on. Now this is how things are going for Bjorn. Looking amazing. Maybe that didn't illustrate the point as much as I wanted to. Let's throw up Brett. Brett, this is how it started for Brett. Here we go. Come on, look at him. Now this is how it's going for Brett. Just got married a few months ago, looking amazing. God's brought you here. And if you're here, maybe you've had the hardest week of your life. God's doing more in your life than you realize, but I believe there's more in you. You can continue to grow, continue to get better. And this is kind of the posture of Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9, you can read it on the screen if you don't have a Bible. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so you will have the endurance and patience you need. The title of my message at the 11 o'clock service is, I'm getting better. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm getting better. Turn to your other neighbor, the neighbor you chose second, and say, I'm sorry I chose you second. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Let's pray. Jesus, we just lift up this service to you. You're already doing so much in people's lives. And God, I pray that you speak, that you move, that I get out of the way. Holy Spirit, you work. We're open for whatever you have. And I believe if people come expectant to hear something, they'll walk away with something. They'll be changed. So God, we pray for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. But there's some things in life I'm not getting better at. See, I wish that I looked and sounded like Wes Schrock, but I don't. And my dreams of being a country music star, I think I've officially died. You know, this is starting to be spring and warm weather. You roll down them windows and you turn on country music. Any country music fans in here? A few people, okay? And I blare the music and I begin to sing and I'm like, maybe God healed my voice. Maybe I, you know. And I turn down the radio and I realize that's bad. There's some things you just need to admit defeat. For me, it's trimming my beard. I don't know. Every time I try to trim my beard, I had a big beard, try to trim it, I'm preaching tomorrow, trying to look good, and somehow grab the wrong trimmer, and it just like pretty much took it all the way down. And so if this message is bad, blame that. Blame the beard. The anointing was in the beard. I'm also bad at laundry. The smallest and simplest tasks I'm bad at. You know, like when I want to shrink something, I can't shrink it. But when it's like my favorite shirt, I really don't want it to be shrunk. Somehow it gets shrunk. I remember there was a time in my old apartment, me and Emma lived downtown Minneapolis, and the laundry mat was in the basement. And it was an old washer and dryer where it didn't have a timer. I remember one time I was going to a meeting and I really had to get my sweatshirt out, and then I went downstairs and I was waiting for it to go off, and I'm sitting there waiting and I'm waiting and I'm, all right, God, got probably one more minute. I'm waiting. We've probably all been there, like, come on, go on, go on. And I'm waiting and it hasn't gone off, and I'm like, shoot. So I walk away. And I remember shutting the door. Right when I shut the door, I heard the bing. And I believe there's people in this place that you're in a waiting season. You're sitting there waiting. And you're waiting on God. And I believe that we're all in a waiting season. We're waiting for healing. We're waiting for strength. We're waiting for our future spouse. We're waiting for pain to be gone. We're waiting for victory and anxiety and depression in your finances. And you're waiting on God. And maybe a month ago, you're believing for it. You're expecting for it. But you're about to walk away. And I believe that as you walk away, God's getting ready to do something new. God's getting ready to open up a door in your finances. God's getting ready to open up a door in your family life. And he wants you to hold on. And in this message, if I just encourage one person to hold on to the promises, to hold on to the plans of God, then this is a successful service. In the words of the great theologian, Justin Bieber, says, I'm going to need you to hold on. Heaven is a place not too far away. Psalms 91, verse 14, it says, if you'll hold on to me for dear life, I'll get you out of trouble. I'll give you the best care. If you only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times and I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. We just need to hold on. And there's a story in the Bible of somebody who didn't hold on. It's a story of Jacob and Esau, and they were brothers, and Esau was an outdoorsman, and Jacob preferred life indoors. But Esau was the firstborn, which means he has the birthrights. Birthrights was not just a bragging right. It means you literally got everything passed down upon you that your family had. But Jacob had a plan. He said, I'm gonna make the best cup of soup anyone has ever smelled in their entire life. I'm gonna wait for the moment where Esau is tired and weary and he's waiting to eat. And I'm gonna offer him this cup of soup. And when I offer him, I'm gonna say, hey, you can have this soup if you give me your birthright in exchange. It's a crazy story, but this is what happens. Esau traded his calling for a cup of soup. And I think we look at that story, you know, many, many years later, and we say, what are you thinking, Esau? You could have had so much. But here's the truth, we've all been there. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing, but by then it was too late. Tears or no tears. And we need to stop trading God's plan for our pleasure. See, how do you want to please God? We need to be obedient to his plan. And in Romans 11, verse 29, it says, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. It means nobody can take it away from you. It means nobody, not what you've said about yourself, not what other people have spoken about you. I don't care what's in your head right now, the fear that you may feel, or if you failed time after time after time. The call and the gifts are irrevocable in your life. But we know that there's a difference between gifting and calling. A lot of people say that I'm called to preach, or I'm called to teach, or I'm called to be in the business world, or I'm called to be a lawyer, or I'm called to be a financial advisor. No, you're gifted to do those things. You're called to please God, to love God, and to love people in this city. And we're called to love every person, but I believe there's certain people in our path, family and friends, that God has called us to. And if we use our gifts to fulfill our calling, I believe God will be pleased and we'll be walking in his will. And the truth is, the enemy knows he cannot tear down your calling, but he can get you to trade it. And in the sports world, many times when a trade happens, it's because of a free agent, meaning that person is available to be added to the other person's team. And I believe there's things of this world that the enemy is trying to get you to add to your life, to be able to add to your life, to trade the calling that God has put on your life. The first one is the free agent of comparison. See, on Friday, I finished my message, and I felt pretty good about it and excited. I'm enjoying, you know, family night, and we're watching a movie. And I got a couple emails, and these were other campus pastors' notes. And there's a difference between comparing and collaborating. You got to figure out where you're at. We need people to collaborate to make ourselves better, but we cannot compare with them. And I began to read their notes. And as I began to read their notes, I began to feel worse and worse and worse about my message. See, you may be in that season where you're trading your calling because you keep comparing with somebody else. But I'm here to tell you, you have what it takes. Come on. You have what it takes. God chose you. God did not choose your neighbor to walk in your calling. God chose you to love this city and to love the people around you. And he's gifted you in a way to do that. Then there's the free agent of flaky. See, I'll do it. God, I'll do it. As long as I don't have to really commit. Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. See, maybe you know your calling, you know your giftings, and I love what Brad was talking about. There is power in obedience over time. Just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. If you're weary and you know your calling to be in the medical field, you know your calling to start a business, just keep showing up and believing that God can do it. But maybe you're here and you don't know your calling. I know there's a lot of people that don't, like, I still don't think I know what God's called me to. I still don't know if I know his will. I really want to please God. I don't know if I know his will. I believe we need to commit before he calls. Commit before he calls. See, one of my least favorite things to do is to pick a restaurant with a group of friends. Like, I don't know if you're the same person, but everyone's like, where are we going? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, where do you want to go? And they're like, anywhere. I'll go anywhere. Anywhere. Okay, what about Chipotle? I don't really like Chipotle. What about Crisp and Green? Well, you know, it's too far. That's like 20 minutes away. And I believe God says to us, where do you want to go? We're praying, and we're praying to God. God, show me our calling. God's like, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And through the conversation with God, God says, could you go to Africa? Could you go to Asia? Could you stay in your hometown? We're like, anywhere, God. Where do you want to go? Anywhere. Well, would you stay here? And we're saying, well, I think maybe God hasn't opened the door because he knows we won't be obedient. See, don't predetermine your outcome. Predetermine your response. So often I predetermine my outcome. What if this happens, God? Are you calling me here? Are you allowing this to happen? Don't predetermine your outcome. You cannot control your outcome. But predetermine your response. God, wherever you call me, I believe that you will use me. I will say yes. But I understand that it's hard to say yes, because there's fear all around us. And there's the free agent of fear. And in Psalms 91, 1 through 2, it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. And I grew up in the 90s, and we had a gym game called Parachute. Anyone remember the game called Parachute? It, for some reason, was the funnest game ever, but all you did is you had a parachute and you lifted up the parachute, then everyone went running into the parachute. And that's the picture I want you to see. Whatever is coming at you, know that there is a protection over you. God's parachute will protect you. And I think oftentimes in the church, we say, if you step out into your calling, if you step out into faith, that means that there's going to be a target on your back for the enemy, which is true. But something we don't say enough in the church is God will protect you from every arrow, from anything coming against you. God will protect you. He oversees everything you're walking through. He's over you. He's going to protect you. You don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to have the spirit of fear to grip you, to trade your calling in because you're too fearful. You need to step out in faith and watch what God does. There's a free agent of doubt. God can't do it. You know what I've said, you know what I've done. You know the dreams in my heart, they're big dreams. God can't do it. Do you know the God that we serve? The God where Abraham was 100 and the dream came true, where Noah took 120 years to build the ark and he saved his family, where Moses was led into the promised land after 40 years. Like, we live in this culture where Jay-Z was turned down by every major label at 27 because he was too old. Mark Cuban had $0 at 28. Like, stop doubting, and we need to start dreaming, believing that God can do amazing things within your business. God can do amazing things within your family. Come on, does anyone believe that we need to turn our good dreams over to God dreams and watch what God does? Then there's a free agent of feeling. Well, I want to do what feels good. But who knows, feelings will fade away. That feeling of being satisfied by that cup of soup, it probably tasted so good, that went away really quick. And feelings will fade away. And that's the human design, is we're always looking to be satisfied. And it started from the beginning. See, Genesis 2, verse 5, it says, "Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord formed a man, then a woman." See, there was wilderness. And then in one moment, God created life. God created this amazing garden. And Adam and Eve had access to everything, had access to this abundant life. But there was one tree they couldn't eat at. And we know the story. They ate at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they disobeyed God and they were back into the wilderness. And I don't know what season you're in, but I'm here to bet that you're either in one of two seasons. You're in a season where it feels like a lush garden. There's streams flowing out. Like, life is abundant. Life is blessed. 2020 was amazing. Like, it's hard for you to admit because it's like 2020 was hard for everybody else, but actually it was the best year of your life. Or maybe you're here and you're just barely making it by. But I believe in both seasons, wisdom will make a way. In both seasons, wherever you're at, wisdom will make a way. Wisdom pleases God. And I believe wisdom is confidence in God, not control over God. See, we need to always learn and grow in our knowledge. But as we grow in our knowledge, it should lead to a place of confidence. It should not lead to a place of control. Because control leads to insecurity. And many times when we can't see the outcome, we begin to control. We begin to hold on tight. I can't see, I'm gonna control. Like, I'm in control. No, God says, I want you to live a life where you have confidence that even when you can't see your future spouse, even when you can't see your dreams come true, you're saying, I have confidence in the God that I serve. Confidence in who God is. Come on, he is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the bread of life. He is Lord, Creator, Wonderful, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Teacher, Advocate, Good Shepherd, Friend of Sinners. He's the Great I Am. And instead of looking at the labels you put on yourself, you need to start looking at the labels of our Lord. And there should be so much confidence when you read through that list. You need to be confident in his word. Hebrews 6:19. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. It makes me think of the stimulus check. I'm confident that stimulus check is coming. And one of my favorite things to look through on Instagram is stimulus check memes. Let me take a look at one real quick. Bank account, $1,400. McDonald's cashier, you asked for how much for French fries? No, I said, how much for a franchise? It's my favorite ones. But I'm confident, even though it's not in my checking account. Why? Because of the president's word. How much greater is God's word? If it's in his word, you don't have to worry. It will happen. Confidence in who God is, confidence in his word, but also confidence in why you are here. Confidence in the season that you're in. And I believe true wisdom, there's an understanding of why God brought you here. See, if you're in a season of blessing, that's amazing. But in Matthew 6:19, it says, don't hoard treasures down here. If you're in a season of blessing, whether it's financially, I believe God's calling you to give that. Your blessings relationally, God's calling you to give that. Like, you're called to give if you're in a season of blessing. And when you have wisdom, you understand why God brought you here, why God blessed you. But maybe you're in a season of the wilderness. There's a story in Matthew 4. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. See, God will never tempt you, but I believe he will lead you. Many times he leads you in this dry season. So don't give the enemy credit for what God's trying to do in your life. And in the wilderness, really, it's a lot of death that's happening. There's not a lot of plants. There's not a lot of life. And maybe God put you into this season to put to death the things that don't please God. Put to death the pride. Put to death the lust, the worry, the shame, the gossip, the anger, the addiction. And I think that when that's our mindset, we stop waiting and we start working. We stop waiting and we start working. We stop just enduring and we start expanding. Listen, if you're enduring in one place in your life, that means that God's allowing you to expand in another one. And I believe when you live this way, if this is your response, the fruits of the Holy Spirit will be so evident in your life that the fruits of the Holy Spirit are for every season. And I love the story in Mark chapter 4 where the disciples are on a boat and there's a storm and they are scared. There's a free agent of fear. There's this fear. And the disciples were fishermen, so you know it's a bad storm. Like they've seen a storm or two in their life, so this must have been the biggest storm they've ever seen. They're freaking out. They go down to try to find Jesus, and Jesus is sleeping. You know the story. Jesus wakes up and he calms the storm. But the miracle isn't the fact that Jesus calmed the storm. The miracle is that he had peace in the storm. And I believe that God is calling you to this season so that fruit can come out of your life. And maybe God allows life to squeeze us to see what actually comes out. And I hope and pray what comes out of your life is joy, peace, patience, love, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And this is the evidence of what God's doing. We can fake it all we want. I can fake it all I want. But if we want the true test of, are we living a life to please God, watch life squeeze you and just see what happens. Many times I view those seasons in my life as a gift. Wow, I didn't realize I had that in my heart, God. It takes a season to press us. With the trial coming up, I can't help but think in this way. When I think about evidence and the fruits of the Holy Spirit being the evidence, here's a question I'm asking myself. If Christianity was against the law and you were put on trial, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Not your church attendance, not your life group attendance, but the fruits of the Holy Spirit in every season. When we live this life, and I know in 2020, it's been a time where it's hard to live a life where you're full of peace and full of joy. But that's what makes us different as Christ followers. Like, I run into people and I have interactions with people that I get upset with, and I'm like, why do they act that way? But I understand because they don't know Jesus. But us as the church, we know Jesus. So our response as we go into the neighborhoods, as we go into the city, should be filled with the love and joy and peace and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, no matter what's going on in your life. And someone I've really looked up to a lot in this, who I've heard his testimony, his family's testimony, who he's gone through seasons of blessing, and he's gone through seasons where he's been stretched, and God's done crazy things in his life in 2020. His name is Jeremy Newhouse and Jessica Newhouse. So I want to invite Jeremy and his son Orion to come up on the stage. Can we put our hands together? He's going to share his testimony for a little bit.